Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we come to you live as always from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. That's at rocketmortgage.com. They're home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. And today's show is going to be a good show. We continue my series, My Favorite People in Sports. I figured with the way the news is this week, the way the news has been recently, the way the news seems to always be, we could use a slice of goodness, a slice of laughter, a slice of happiness and a smile. And that's what this week has been about here on the show. The people that either I follow on social media, watch on TV, watch on my phone, listen to on the radio, read their pieces. I wanted to highlight those people that I really appreciated in sports. So today continues. My friend Adam Rank from NFL Network. We'll talk about the NFL offseason with him, but also a little bit of everything else as well. Adam's a huge baseball fan, so we'll talk to him about a summer right now without baseball and some other things as well, I'm sure. So we'll get to Adam Rank, My Favorite People in Sports, NFL Network, joining us coming up here in about 2 hours from now. It's also a Trash Tuesday, and so we invite your trashes. Send us your trashes. We will be doing our trash coming up here later on in this hour, 40 minutes from now. So your trashes, send them to me on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, that Twitter handle, follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. You could also give me your trashes over the phone if so inclined. The phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That phone number is 855-212-4227. 20 minutes from now, the legacy of Pat Dye, who passes away, the legendary Auburn football coach. Coming up next hour, the Raiders' number one draft pick goes down with an injury. How concerned should Raider fans be? We are also stunned to a news next hour. And speaking of injured star wide receivers, Clemson's going to be without their best one as well coming up here this season, should they play. Later on in the show, we'll talk about the never-ending comedy show that is Lenny Dykstra's life. And we've got your best audio, this date in Mothership history, and your advanced analytics this morning as well. So all coming up this morning on the show. But let us begin with baseball news, because sources tell Jeff Passan of ESPN, one of the best baseball writers in America right now, that the powers that be within baseball's league office has kicked around a 50-game schedule, 5-0. According to Passan's report, although MLB does not intend to propose this plan to players, the possibility of implementing a schedule of around 50 games that would start in July has been considered by the league as a last resort. So, you have that now to chew on, that baseball has at least kicked around the last-ditch effort, the Hail Mary, if you will, of 50 games. Now, why would this happen? Why would this report be out there right now after baseball's union gave the owners a counter-proposal on Sunday? That counter-proposal which we discussed yesterday here on the show is a 114-game schedule. But the biggie is that the players don't want a prorated portion and have to take another pay cut as well. They just want their prorated portion of the season and their salaries. Because the owners came back, remember, with the original proposal and said, forget the prorated portion of the season. We need to work off a different economic model. And we're not looking at a prorated portion of the season. We're looking at less money for you guys. So the union comes back and says, well, we still want to stick to the prorated portion of the season, but 114 games. And this 50-game proposal does include prorated portion of the salaries, but only 50 games. Now, again, important to remember here, the owners and the league have not given this to players yet. This is not the proposal back to the players. This is just a report of what they're considering. And this is the bit here. The bit is the owners are going, oh, okay, players won't move off of this prorated thing. All right. Let's even say we do a prorated portion of the salaries. Let's even say we go there and get all loony. 50 games. All right. You guys want the percentage of your salaries parallel with how many games we play? All right. 50. You know how many, you know what percentage of their salaries they would get? About 31%. A 50-game schedule is about 31% of the schedule. Now, what the players had proposed, 114 games at prorated, is 70%. So what the owners have done here is, without giving the players a counterproposal, and whether you hate or love the owners, my guess is many of you hate them, understandably so, this is the art of the negotiation and pretty smart. They're saying, let's not even give them a proposal yet. Let's just float out there what it could be to start getting them chirping and chattering and discussing and maybe worried. We want to get them worried. Let's get them worried that they can come back for prorated, but it's at 50 games, 30% of their salary. And our counter proposal will be more games than 50, but you're going to have to take a pay cut to get there. And my guess is the owners will give them a proposal closer to half of their salary for 100 games. Because if you think about it, if you gave the players an option of just say, to make math easy for you as you're riding around in the car or listening at home or whatever on the radio, you don't have a pen and pad in front of you, 50% of their salary would be 81 games of the season. The owners want 100 games of a season, hypothetically, let's just say, but at an 80-game rate, 50% of their salary. But my guess is it's more like an 80-game season at 40% of their salary. And so they're selling to them, hey, consider this. We might go 50 games at 30% of your salary. If you really want prorated, you really want prorated? Okay, we can do prorated, 50 games then. So you're making less than a third of what you originally thought you were going to make this year. We'll do prorated, but we'll play 50 games. Would the union accept a 50-game schedule, which is a remarkably short season for a Major League Baseball campaign? It is where we begin your cold open.
The clubs are going to come back to them and say, you know what? Forget 114 games. Forget 82 games. Let's do 65 games or something like that at a higher salary. But the problem with that is if you're doing a shorter season, either you got to start it in early July and do your playoffs in like mid-September to mid-October, or you run the risk of running into the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, and college football. And there's the possibility that it's going to get absolutely cannibalized.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That is Jeff Passan on the Pat McAfee Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the thing about cannibalizing the Major League Baseball season. I don't think baseball even cares about that right now. I really don't. They should. We've talked about it on this show. But do I think that baseball right now is going, we don't want to go up against football season and college football season and the NBA finals. I don't even think that's in their wheelhouse. I think they're just thinking about getting games played, getting them on TV, and trying to salvage a season. That's the only thing that I think they worry about. And for the owners, I think they only worry about the economics of the league moving forward in their own pockets. I really think that that's kind of the only thing on their minds right now. And what this report is intended to do is spook the players. Oh my God, a 50-game season? A 50-game season? A 50-game season, a prorated? Do we really want prorated? Maybe we should move off that line. Maybe we don't want to just get prorated. It is meant to do that. It is pretty transparent that it's meant to do that. But it is meant to do that. And to me, the solution always lies somewhere in between. And the hope here is that the owners do put forth a good faith counterproposal to the players. That the owners don't just take the players' proposal and say, screw it. This is ridiculous. Take it or leave it. It's our way or the highway. The hope is what they're preparing for is to get closer to what the players want, but maybe not go all the way there, which is why they're trying to spook the players with this one. That's the hope. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. But what I know is a 50-game schedule is a silly schedule for baseball, because you're talking about a 50-game schedule regular season leading into, if you play four rounds of the playoffs, which they've talked about, and a first of best of five, then best of seven, you're talking about a 50-game regular season and a 27-game postseason. Seems pretty stupid to me. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, when you saw the report yesterday of a 50-game season being mulled by owners but not given to the players yet, what was your reaction?
My reaction was, of course, because we just come off the 114-game proposal. There's no coincidence there that suddenly that's floated out as the counterproposals from the MLBPA, and a mere hours later the owners somehow slipped this in, that they're going to float out a 50-game schedule. In the end, I ended up feeling like we're going to somehow meet in the middle here of 80 games. And I also feel like because the players have already agreed to the prorated and because the owners want to be real sticklers here with proposing a 50-game at prorated, that ultimately as much public discourse as there is between these two sides – they're going to find middle ground. I really do believe that. And if we do end up with somewhere like a 65-game season, as we just heard the passing clip, I can live with that certainly. I think that's actually much better for a baseball fan right now than having to stretch out 114 games and play longer. But I end up hearing that and thinking they're shooting for somewhere in the middle, just like the original proposal. And how much will the players get sucked into this? And I think ultimately, though, they're going to find middle ground. I actually feel more confident today than I did yesterday that we will have a baseball season.
Squeezing in 114 starting July 1 or June 30th or whatever seems completely unrealistic. And that's the that was the player's proposal, 114 games that you're cramming into July, August, September, and going through Halloween, then starting the playoffs in November.
Right.
That feels unrealistic. But I also don't like a 50-game schedule either. I think the 100-game schedule, something between 82 and 100, feels the best. If you told me we had 100 games this year for baseball, but we're not playing the postseason into Thanksgiving, I'm all for that, but I do think that ship has sailed. To me, the most realistic option is the 82-game option, right, which begins July 1 and then follows the normal baseball timeline, yeah, where the postseason begins October 1.
So I agree with that. However, the only thing I will say, in a sport that already now has really bad public perception during this pandemic and the way they have handled the money, in a sport that has had so many problems grasping the attention of a very long season along the way, finally to a postseason has to compete with obviously football, a 50-game season would actually be pretty cool because every game would be extremely meaningful, pressure-filled, and the amount there for every team to be involved and not just be simply buried a month into the season, because all it could take is two hot weeks by a team that otherwise might have been a team that teetered off in the other season. Suddenly they're a playoff team and anything happens. I think baseball in a 50-game season would look like the Wild Wild West, and I think for a year they might be really cool and could actually grab some casual attention.
What I don't understand is the timeline behind a 50-game schedule. If you start a 50-game schedule in July, early July, that means you're spreading out only 50 games for the next 3 months, July, August, and September. I mean, playing 50 games usually takes a month and a half in baseball.
A lot of off days. They're going to give these players a lot of off days to sit there because they didn't want to make more than 30% of their salary if they would agree to it. But passing saying the 65 games, that's an extra 15, does help that flood some of those off days as well.
Are you going to play a three-game series with a team in three consecutive days, or are there off days in between each one of those games?
I mean, maybe you play three and four. I'd have to look at it. Or do you frankly start the postseason earlier, 2 weeks?
But think about it. That's 50 games in a 90-day window.
Yeah,
that's not even that's basically a game every other day. I mean,
yeah,
that doesn't seem realistic.
But they also said sometime in July. That could be the last week of July when we're starting with the NHL and NBA as well. Doesn't mean July 4th. Sometime in July, I didn't see the beginning of July there. And now you're looking at a season basically played in August and September, which, again, that would be where I sort of have a problem as well, because you had that whole month of July to come back, and now here you are getting thrown right into potentially the NBA and NHL postseason and then football, and that is a situation where you do get swallowed up publicly.
The good news is at least we have proposals, counter-proposals, and the reports of what could happen being floated out there. It means at least the two sides are working on what they think works for them, instead of taking their ball, going home, and sniping through the media. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, the passing of an SEC legend yesterday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The best sports radio party in the galaxy.
Have you had a better call than this?
No, I haven't.
Have you had more fun than this?
No, I haven't.
Did you look under there?
What's under where?
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, yes. Hijinks aboard the DA Show. Thanks for being with us. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term, car and motorcycle policies. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Remember, the DA Show you can listen to in podcast form. Ever miss anything, want to hear it again? You could do so by simply going to our website, cbssportsradio.com. Also, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or on radio.com, or any other place that you get your podcasts. It's a Trash Tuesday, so send us your trashes, won't you? DA on CBS is where it's at. DA on CBS. The passing yesterday of an SEC legend hit the Auburn community hard. Pat Dye, who was the head coach of the Auburn Tigers through the 80s and early 90s, who really changed the dynamic of the Iron Bowl, maybe single-handedly, and coached the great Bo Jackson, passed away yesterday. A lot of his former players tweeted about it. He had many, many, many great former NFL players and college football players under his watch at Auburn from the early 80s through the early 90s. And all of them echo that Pat Dye was a straight shooter, loved playing for him. He had a gentle touch with homes and moms during recruiting, but a tough-as-nails demeanor on the sideline, and that helped them, that helped Auburn get over the hump. You know, Bear Bryant had dominated the Iron Bowl for decades, really. Bear Bryant's reign at Alabama through the 60s, through the 70s, absolutely thoroughly dominant. In fact, over the course of 23 years, okay, 23 years, Bear Bryant lost to Auburn four times. I mean, think about that run. Was that 19-4 in the Iron Bowl, which is supposed to be your biggest rivalry? Pretty good. But in year two of the Iron Bowl under Pat Dye, in year two of Pat Dye's tenure, when he was hired in 1981, by 1982, they'd actually won. By 1982, Auburn had finally won. And Bear Bryant, just weeks later, announced his retirement. Now, we kind of think of Bear Bryant as larger than life, certainly in the state of Alabama. You go down there, and I've had the chance to go to Tuscaloosa for a game and actually go to Auburn for a game as well and spend some time in Alabama. Obviously, Bear Bryant is everywhere. Houndstooth caps and houndstooth this and houndstooth that and statues of him. Bear Bryant's legacy is everywhere, larger than life, especially in college football in general, really. And the hiring of Pat Dye really forced him out because they had lost in year two of the Iron Bowl to Auburn. And it's at that moment where Bear Bryant goes, I'm losing ground here and I don't want to lose ground. I'm out. But that's how dramatic that it was. This is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today. Bear Bryant had lost to a former assistant coach in Pat Dye, which was bad enough. But whispers held that Bryant, then 69, felt the winds of change. He had grown accustomed to having his pick of his best recruits. Before scholarship limitations were imposed, he just signed as many guys as possible so that he didn't have to play against them. The Bear wanted an offensive lineman from Birmingham, Ben Tamborello. Tamborello decided to go to Auburn. There are those who insist Bear Bryant said, quote, if I can't get Ben Tamborello, I got to hang it up. As soon as that happened and Bear was out, Pat Dye won the Iron Bowl four times in 6 years. The interesting thing was that while Pat Dye helped bring Auburn back and kind of overtook Alabama throughout the 80s, it's kind of hard for us to believe right now, but Auburn was the superior team in the rivalry throughout the 80s. But the Pat Dye era ended really badly. Auburn went on probation. They were found guilty of NCAA violations. And Pat Dye was kind of forced out. Auburn never treated him poorly after that. But he was forced out in 92 when the Wolves were at the door. And it's interesting, Pat Dye certainly helped change that program and certainly has the loyalty of a lot of his players. And Pat Dye helped bring Auburn to the forefront of college football. The Bo Jackson years, they were on national TV every single week at a time where you did not get national TV every single week. And, of course, beating Alabama in the Iron Bowl was huge for Auburn. But there were also a lot of people along the way that said Pat Dye is good. Pat Dye can't win the big one, though. That was a common refrain for Pat during those years. So there's a lot of layers to the Pat Dye legacy at Auburn. But it's interesting just to note that he was a really significant part of college football history and passed away yesterday. A lot of people say that Auburn's best team during that era was 1983. That was with Bo Jackson, Lionel James, and a number of other really good players. And had they just run the table in the regular season, they would have played for the national championship and probably won. But they lost to Texas at home in September that year. And everyone thinks that that was an unacceptable loss, and that they would have beaten the team to the national championship game. That was the Miami-Nebraska national championship game in 83. And that kind of stuck with Pat Dye as well. So it was interesting to see kind of the tale of how Pat Dye is remembered, obviously by his players really, really fondly, by some fans of media as a guy that was good, but ultimately couldn't quite win the big one, but certainly a guy that helped change and usher in a sea change in the Iron Bowl and SEC football when he was hired in 1981. R.I.P. Pat Dye. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Interesting, you know, I'm a Syracuse grad, and Pat Dye holds a very significant place in Syracuse football lore. And that is because of the 1987 Sugar Bowl, which featured Syracuse in a Cinderella season against Auburn.
Still down, right?
Auburn settled for the game-tying field goal in the waning seconds and wanted the tie. And Coach McPherson and the Syracuse Orange Men program and Syracuse fans never let him off the hook for that, always resented him for that. You played for the tie? You kicked the field goal, played for the tie back when there was no overtime in college football. It's a bowl game. Go for the win, win or lose. And so it was known in history as the Pat Dye tie, the 87/88 Sugar Bowl, Syracuse versus Auburn. And they'll never let him. They never let that go. Never, ever, ever let that go. Still won't let that go. Standing by with our headlines this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Sounds like I just heard from Bogues just a few seconds ago. So it sounds like he's here. Bogues, good morning.
Check. Mic check, 1, 2, 3.
There he is.
He got me? All right, there he am.
Yeah.
Here's your report this morning. It is sponsored by GEICO, who has introduced the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So Scott Boras is at least doing one thing right during baseball's mess. The mega agent is paying his released minor league players their full expected salaries for this season. The Nationals changed their minds yesterday and will pay their remaining minor leaguers their $400 weekly salaries for June. The Athletic reported over the weekend those checks were dropping to $300. Then players like Sean Doolittle said teammates would pay those minor leaguers out of their own pockets. That would obviously look terrible for Nats ownership. They say they'll reevaluate the situation on a...
Well, they're only World Series champions. There's no money to pay anybody. So I don't know where you think that revenue would come from. Like, oh, postseason home games, World Series home games, new sponsorships.
All spent.
They're World Series champions. Where else would they get that cash?
Listen, when you pay for 52 rubies and 33 sapphires and 180 diamonds per ring... You got zeros in your bank account.
Not
they
a bad
splurged
point, actually.
On rings. Now they got nothing.
Yeah, they have to pawn off.
The Yankees are also poor.
Pawn off the rings just to pay the players and the staff. Oops, sorry, guys. Gonna have to go to the pawn shop.
The downtrodden Yankees will also keep giving out $400 a week, but only for June at the moment. They're also releasing 45 minor league players. All of this as owners apparently consider that last resort of a 50-game schedule with full prorated salaries As DA laid out, this is not an actual proposal, just part of the league's response to the players' suggestion of 114 games at full prorated salaries. You might have been preoccupied last night. Some of us might have been watching the season debut of Below Deck Med on Bravo.
So of course, you
might have missed the late drama at Bristol Motor Speedway.
It's all Noah Gregson, engine number 9, with a win for the second time this year. Gregson does it at Bristol.
Noah Gregson, I think you heard that, which is a good start for us this morning.
Yeah, a big start. That's a crooked number in the first inning.
Right? How about that? Let's not jinx it. The NASCAR Xfinity Series raced by less than 0.04 of a second over Chase Briscoe, as heard on FS1. It's Gregson's second win of the season, having taken the season opener at Daytona back in February. Clemson wide receiver Justin Ross will miss the coming season, might not play football again. The Tigers thought Ross suffered a stinger during spring ball, but then doctors discovered a spine issue he has had since birth. A specialist in Pittsburgh will operate on Ross on Friday.
Ross, by the way, is one of the best wide receivers in football and was basically Trevor Lawrence's best option coming into this season. He was dynamic in the national championship game last year.
The Golden State Warriors finally reopened their practice facility yesterday, one of the last teams in the league to do so. If it was necessary, remains to be seen, since the Dubs reportedly would obviously not be involved if the NBA resumes its season with just 20-plus teams in Orlando. Brian Shaw expected to be the head coach of that new G League elite team. Michigan is now allowing sports practices and games outdoors as long as all involved can social distance. Fans will be capped at 100, which doesn't help the Tigers or the Lions for now. And baseball is not alone in labor strife. MLS owners apparently threatening to lock out players if they don't accept the league's return to play plan and other CBA modifications by today. Now,
brutal.
DA, correct me if I'm wrong. If you think MLB owners might suck in all of this, MLS owners have 99% of the power in this relationship. And depending on who you listen to, they're trying to ram through some CBA modifications under the guise of a pandemic shutdown. They only agreed to this new CBA back in February. And then once you agree to things like that, it takes about a month or so to actually put it all officially in paper, then both sides to ratify it. This was never actually ratified, so the door on either side. So the door is kind of slightly open for them to run through here and try and get some changes while threatening a lockout on players as of today. And if baseball needs to play, soccer needs to, MLS needs to be on the field even more so to gain whatever notoriety it can here over this summer while we're dying and striving and fiending for sports.
No doubt. The MLS Players Union is not powerful at all. It's barely a union. And so they've had to claw and scratch for any type of monetary increases. Also, the league, the teams are largely league-owned. And so you just don't have owners willing to outspend other owners because they're owned on their own little islands. That's not the way that it works in MLS. So the players have almost no footing to make major gains. And if MLS owners are just bullying them, it's a bad scene. And look, this is the perfect summer for MLS to come back and get some attention. It is the perfect time. You've got baseball that's delayed in coming back. Who knows about basketball? Maybe not coming back until late July. Who knows about hockey as well? If MLS, like we've seen Bundesliga come back, we'll see the Premier League come back in a week and a half. If they miss this opportunity, I will be just as critical of MLS as I have it about MLB. It would be a brutal loss for that league.
Back to you, DA.
Folks, I'm going to ask you about the 50-game proposal about baseball, either coming up here next or coming up at the top of the hour. But I want to break here because we've got Trash Tuesday coming up here next. But I'd like to get your take on this 50-game idea that's being swirled about here around Major League Baseball. But when we come back, it is our Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off on a Trash Tuesday. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing my entire swimming pool installation process. I had a swimming pool installed last week. And I got a pool 7 feet shorter than initially agreed to because the people where we bought it from sneakily wrote in the contract some pool that we never discussed, and now it is already up, and it would cost me more to take it down. My wife's fighting with that. But even if that wasn't
a big deal. Wow, that sounds like Major League Baseball's contract negotiations.
It's a whole mess that's not worth getting into here. I'm going to get to my real problem here. Number two problem, because there's three problems. They promised me all these free chemicals and every tool I will need. Well, it didn't come with chlorine, and it did not come with a pole for my skimmer, just a simple skimmer head. Number one, you need a chlorine for pool, so there I was, another $50 down the drain, and that was written in the contract as well. Now they're saying they may ship us some chlorine. Well, what good does that do me? But my real problem, the problem above all problems, was the people that installed the pool, very nice guys, decided on their own, because they see a bar in my backyard, to crack open my fridge and drink the entirety of a 12-pack of Kona seltzers I have got. So this is, DA, truth be with you, okay? Now, I love a Kona big way. I love the Kona Brewing Company out in Florida, out in Hawaii. Obviously, I'm a big fan. They came out recently with their own brand of seltzers. They are very hard to get right now. Not every distributor is buying them. I ended up getting a 12-pack from a different town, from a cousin's boyfriend. I put them in my backyard fridge. These guys, because my wife apparently told them when they needed to put their monsters in a fridge, we have a fridge in the back open up, decided on their own, since they were working on my house, to crack open the fridge.
Oh, my
God. And I came back there as they were leaving to three Kona seltzers that they were all just chugging along, and I was kind of a little taken aback. I was already thrown off by the size of the pool, and after they left, I opened up the fridge, and out of 12 seltzers in there, there was one left.
Oh.
These guys pounded my rare seltzers all afternoon long right out of my fridge at my bar, because they treated my backyard bar like they were at the actual bar in public, and now I am out of my rare seltzers. So the whole process stunk.
Oh. Trash them.
That's a dumpster dive.
Oh, my goodness.
Could you imagine? How about asking? Just ask. You drink 11 for no reason, and I didn't even realize I ended up tipping these guys. I give a tip. You drank all my alcohol.
They drank your booze, didn't give you the chlorine, didn't give you the pool skimmer pole, and you tipped them. You got a smaller pool than you paid for.
Right. And I $50 for lunch for these guys, too. I took care of them, and they treated my house like a hotel.
Sean, I've fought this fight for those Kona seltzers, so I know your pain, but don't lose sight of the real issue here. You were like breach of contract. I mean, they robbed you of smaller pool.
They
left
did.
You not enough equipment. This is nonsense.
Now we might get another one in September, but it's questions of who has to pay for the takedown of this pool.
Oh.
The whole thing's a nightmare, but honestly, my wife could fight that fight. I'm going to fight for my seltzers, because what I found that to be atrocious.
The best part about this was last week when they were installing it, Mraz was peacocking so bad. He's like, oh, I got a pool.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I got on this so early. I called him in February. I was ahead of the pandemic. I had this whole thing set up. Bogus is like, how'd you find pool guys on Long Island? There's no pool guys left. And Mraz is doing his victory dance. Oh, yeah, I was way ahead of the curve. I got my pool. They're installing it right now. Hot weekend coming up. I'm going to be in there. Suddenly, he's down 11 rare seltzers. And
I have a pool the size of a hot tub out there.
No joke. I've looked at those seltzers so long. I saw a distributor selling them while I was on a bike ride. And I rode the last quarter mile on my home on my bike with the 24-pack on my hip. To get them home, that's how bad I wanted them.
It's like a Ty Cobb rookie card. You can't find them.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Short and simple, DA, I'm trashing myself for keeping Bogus's mic on in the last segment. I'm a disgrace. Get me out.
Warning, hazardous material.
Wow, that was aggressive. That was pointed right to the point. Okay.
And not something that took place in the supermarket. That was different for Pete.
Bogus, who are you trashing?
I think this is my second driving-related trash in 3 weeks. Around my neighborhood, many neighborhoods, the streets are narrow, so you can't have cars going in both directions. Somebody's got to move out of the way to let the other car through, and I'm normally the nicer driver, so I like to pull over, let somebody come by me, and then I'll go on my way. Twice in the last week, I've pulled over to let someone come in the other direction have the right of way. Someone behind me has decided that they need to go, whipped around me, and both times nearly had a head-on crash, like right in front of me, because they're impatient. Calm down, understand the rules of the road, and everybody will be safe. Those people, get them out.
Ew, that garbage bag is leaking.
Connor Green, Diaper D Alien, who are you trashing today?
Well, I'm trashing oatmeal raisin cookies. At every family get-together I've ever gone to, regular cookies thinks it could just bring its friend along, oatmeal raisin cookies. The only problem is nobody really likes his friend, and he wasn't invited in the first place. And oatmeal raisin cookies also cause a massive shortage in the regular cookie market, which is a major problem. Get oatmeal raisin cookies out.
Overflowing landfill.
I hate oatmeal raisin cookies as well. Bogues, you like them?
Love them. Love them. Connor couldn't be more wrong here.
They're the best.
Oh, they're the worst. I'm trashing both of you guys then, too.
No, oatmeal raisin is a lot of reason for my weight gain, because I actually thought for a long period, significant period of my Subway time, that they were healthy because it was oatmeal and raisin.
Yeah.
And I substituted them for other cookies, and I would eat three a day thinking it was like a yogurt.
Well, three cookies of any type is probably not the best diet to be on. But are they not less calories or a little bit healthier than, say, just a chocolate chip cookie of the same size?
No, because they're still jam-packed with sugar, cinnamon, all of that. And I really didn't look into the nutrition facts, and I gained 30 pounds in 1 year strictly off oatmeal raisin cookies.
I feel like there was definitely a lot of Papa John's in that diet as well. Not just oatmeal raisin cookies put 30 pounds on.
I was eating them for breakfast. It was oatmeal and raisins.
Nice, healthy breakfast.
What do you think about oatmeal raisins now? Oatmeal raisin cookies.
They're fine. I don't think they're worthy enough of a trash. They're a fine cookie. They're a good breakup of everything. But, I mean, certainly not better than a nice chocolate chip. No,
I don't like biting into an oatmeal raisin thinking it was a chocolate chip. It is such a misdirection. You're like, wait a second.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Not if you're salivating for a chocolate chip, but if you're prepared to bite into an oatmeal raisin, I think it's fine. It's fine.
I am trashing the hornet that stung me in my garage this past week. I'm working in the garage, and we had some shelving that I was putting up in the garage, also putting up in one of the closets. And so there was these long pipes that you then, you know, kind of hook into the wall, into the brackets, yada, yada, yada. So I've wrapped up installing it in the wall of the garage, wrapped up installing into the closet. I'm just wrapping up for the day. It's almost dinner time. I'm excited to come inside, get some dinner. I pick up the final pipe that was unused because we didn't need the extra one. And I feel this burning pain right in my palm. And I'm like, did I cut myself on this, the end of this pipe or something? I drop the pipe because it is scorching, searing pain. And there is a hornet stuck in my palm.
Oh.
The hornet was in the pipe. And so I pulled the hornet off and I threw it down to the ground. And I stepped on it and I couldn't believe how badly my hand was hurting. I ran inside. I'm telling the Bourbon Bell, get ice. My hand is going to blow up the size of Ty Cobb's glove, or maybe bigger. And so I'm just like, this kills. I mean, it was incredible pain. I put ice on it and I'm like, my hand is going to be, you know, ridiculous. I'm squealing like a 7-year-old girl. I can't believe how bad this hurts. And so put the ice on it, eventually put some ointment on it. Thank heavens, got enough ice on it and ointment on it that it did not swell up. I just have a little bite mark here. But I'm trashing the hornet because I don't go into the hornet's nest and try to make a home. He was in my garage. He was in my pipe. The pipe had only been there for a couple of hours. I don't know why this freaking hornet went into the pipe after a couple of hours. Hey, hornet, can't you tell? There's a car in the garage that ain't your car, too big for you. There's a toolbox in the garage that's not your toolbox. This isn't your house. This isn't your home. You stay outside. I'll be on the inside. I ain't going looking for trouble here. You're on my turf. Get him out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
That's right, Mraz. Hornet time. I thought it was a murder hornet.
Was this before or after Sunday's show?
This was Friday night, I think.
And you were okay to work Sunday afternoon after being stung by a hornet?
Well,
hey, I would be out till Wednesday at least. I'm not sure you're a hero.
2 days later, Mraz, I think you can recover from a hornet.
That's a hornet that stabbed you unexpectedly in your hand and you're fine? You're tougher than you look.
It's a day and a half later.
Oh.
I could only imagine, though, if Mraz hit his funny bone and started squealing like a pig, I could only imagine what happens when a hornet stings him right in the palm.
Oh, that's it for me. I would not be here today. There's no question if I was stuck Friday.
Yeah, Friday. You would have been off like Pete for a couple days after WrestleMania. When we come back, the Raiders dealing with an injury.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.